Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast, brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com, bringing you the latest in KU recruiting news, team coverage, and all of the information you need. Here is the staff from Jayhawk Slant.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. This is your host, Randy Withers, and believe it or not, we've actually got the whole gang with us today. We're going to get into some Kansas football as David Beatty's squad is breathing some rarefied air right now, riding a two-game winning streak. Come on now, easy. We've got a lot to get to today. Hold the crowd, hold the applause until after, if you would. We have our resident football expert, John Kirby, with us to preview the Jayhawks Big 12 opener at Baylor. And we're going to get into basketball as boot camp has begun and the season is right around the corner. Our man Shea Wildebor will join us to dig into the latest recruiting news and look ahead to the hardwood. First, I'm going to welcome in Shea since he's been gone for the first two episodes of the season. Shea, it's great to have you back with us, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. The kid's back in school. Basketball's around the corner. The football team's 2-1, so... I mean, really, what more can you ask for, man? Life is good right now.
The only thing I can think of is cooler weather, and allegedly we're getting that tomorrow. So, yes, we've got just about everything you could want right now.
We're rolling. Hey, listen. The football team is 2-1. Basketball is right around the corner. And does KU maybe have a legitimate Heisman contender, maybe?
Hey, Puka Mania is sweeping the nation. We've got to try to hold ourselves back at least a little bit, though, until we find out what's going to happen at Baylor this weekend. And speaking of Baylor, we're going to get right into some football talk right after we get started with Shea. We're going to transition and bring in our man, John Kirby. Kirby, with all the excitement, you have to be loving life right now. How are you?
Hey, Randy, who is this Shea guy? I haven't heard his voice in a while. You got to clue me in on who that guy is.
You know, I'm not quite sure I remember either. He's one of those ghost types, hard to find. Just drops in now and then with a couple of pearls of wisdom and then moves on. I'm excited to hear from him though.
You guys are too much. I'm smiling ear to ear, fellas. I'm smiling ear to ear.
And you've got plenty to talk about, including a big commitment from a local boy. So I mean, there's it's the perfect time to have you back on. It's good to have you back with us. Let's go ahead and get right into it. Shea, on Monday, the Jayhawks got a commitment from local standout Christian Braun, a four-star forward from Blue Valley Northwest. Shea, were you at all surprised by this commitment? And more than that, tell us a little bit about Braun's game, his recruitment, and just what he brings to this Kansas program.
I was, first of all, it would be a disservice if I didn't pronounce it correctly. It's actually Brown.
Oh,
I just
excuse
wanna,
me.
I just want to throw, you got to keep it real. I just want to throw that out there. But yeah, I was, Randy, you know what, maybe I don't want to say surprised at the commitment, but at the time, you know, all along, I firmly believe that Samuel Williamson would be the first guy in this class, at least when Marquise Jacobs in Kansas decided to go separate ways to pop. You know, he's a guy, obviously, his mom attended Kansas. His brother recently graduated from Kansas, you know, an elite player, I think 35th ranked player in the class, according to Rivals.com. Something happened last week, as everybody knows. Eric Bossy kind of dropped a nugget on our message boards and kind of got into that. So I'm not going to get into that too much. But, you know, I always thought that Samuel would be the first guy. When things ended the way they did between the two parties and Kansas really turned up the heat on Christian, went in for an in-home visit, at that point I knew it was only a matter of time. And here's a guy, you know, and I kind of, I guess, related to football because it's frustrating, you know, when Kansas invests so much time recruiting a kid that they want, and then somebody else comes in, a blue blood, I guess, if you want to, and takes him. Randy, I think for the first time, I kind of got a glimpse of how frustrating that can be. Because a school like Kansas State was all in on Christian for a long time. I mean, they invested a ton of time. You know, I know Oklahoma was in there and really wanted him. I believe I'd have to go back and look that a visit to Illinois was scheduled. But, you know, Kansas came in. This is a kid, I believe, whose dad went to Kansas. Mom is an MU Tiger. Obviously, his brother's walking on at MU and will receive a scholarship next year. And so, you know, Christian was always one of Kansas, kind of a dream school. Grew up in Burlington, as the story goes. Obviously, Tyrell Reed comes to mind when you talk about Burlington. And a kid, I believe, Randy, that it's going to have an impact. You know, when I watched the play this summer, here's a kid that comes from an extremely successful, obviously, high school basketball program with Ed Fritz leading the way, a highly successful AAU team in Mocan Elite. He helped guide them to the Final Four of the Peach Jam, which is a prestigious AAU event, obviously, averaged close to 13 points, 6 rebounds a game. And the thing I love about him is, you know, he's not a guy that's just going to do one thing. But the one thing that I think he does really, really, really well is he can stretch the floor with his shot. I think he shot darn near 50% from the line this year from behind the arc, AAU ball. He's a guy this summer that I saw play numerous times, and I don't recall him missing a shot from behind the arc. And I think that's going to be a strength of his. Obviously, that's Kansas could definitely use something like this, that type of player this year. They've got LeGerald Vick coming back, but, you know, he's a guy. He can get to the basket. He can drive and dish. But the thing that I love him is his versatility, his ability to hit shots. And, you know, he's just a basketball IQ guy. I mean, he's a guy that's going to come in, and he's one of those guys that's going to do what you ask him to do. So when Bill Self asks Christian Braun to do something, he's going to do it. He's going to earn his minutes. And the one thing I read somewhere is, and I can't remember what he said, but when talking with Coach Self, you know, Coach Self told him that, you know, Kansas was going to bring in some guys and there's going to be talent, they're going to have a big class. And, you know, Christian didn't shy away from that. So all in all, you know, I know a lot of people will look at the ranking and maybe not get excited, but I think this is one of those times where you kind of look past that ranking and you have to be excited because, you know, when guys like Brady Morningstar and guys like Tyrell Reed were seniors, Kansas needed those guys to be on the court to win. And I think, you know, when Christian's time comes, he's going to be that type of player. He's going to have that type of impact. So it's definitely, I think, something Kansas fans should be excited about. Obviously, Bill Self's not going to show up in your living room. Norm Roberts isn't going to show up in your living room. I'm going to extend a scholarship offer and make the kind of push they did unless they feel good about you. So it's to me, it definitely has to be an exciting day for Kansas basketball and a player I know that I look forward to watching develop over the years.
Well put. Well put. I mean, anytime you have a local kid that you see making an impact with the program, that's got to be something that Kansas fans are excited about. Shay, as we get ready for late night, talk about some of the other recruits that you expect to be in the house when Bill Self and the squad open practice.
Yeah, every year, Randy, it's such a huge deal. I mean, last year it was Little Yachty. I don't know who they're going to have this year. Hopefully that announcement is made soon. But, you know, this year is no different. As of right now, my list that I have on the site right now includes James Wiseman. I'm the number 2 ranked player in the class, 7-foot center. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. My belief is, and I know his mom recently came out and said something different, but until I see otherwise, I think it's Kentucky or Memphis. I mean, that's just the feeling I get. Kansas had an in-home visit with him. They put in the time, and obviously things can change. But, you know, just my feel right now is that it'll come down to those two schools. The big one, to me, the big fish, the one you got to have, the one that you can't let slip away is Jeremiah Robinson Earl, formerly of Bishop Miege, now at IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. You know, 10th ranked player in the class, 4th best power forward, 5 stars, ties to Kansas. Obviously, his dad's Lester Earl. Been to campus numerous times. He'll be back again for late night. So, I mean, that's, you know, you guys recruiting, there's no exact science. Things happen for a reason. There's no slam dunks. Occasionally, you'll get a guy. Maybe it's a little bit easier than it looks, but I think, you know, with Jeremiah Robinson Earl, I can see this one going down right to the bitter end. I mean, you got Kansas on one side, and obviously with Roy Williams at Carolina on the other. Right now, I still give the edge to Kansas. I think he'll be a Jayhawk, but I mean, until that happens, you know, it's just going to have to be the one where the staff has to keep working and working and working. And thankfully for them, you know, he was in their backyard for numerous years, so they've had a chance to put in the work. The relationship's there. So to me, when I look at the visit list, at least now, it gets no bigger than that. You know, Cassius Stanley, a combo guard from North Hollywood, Florida, and just you got to love Twitter, just came out and said he's making a big announcement tomorrow. This is the 31st best player in the class, 5th best shooting guard. What big announcement means, I have no idea. What I do know is he's never visited Kansas. What I do know is that he's scheduled to visit Kansas for late night, and so I don't know if a big announcement means surprise commitment or if it means that he's narrowed his list of schools. I just reached out to his dad during this podcast. His dad acknowledged that there is an announcement, acknowledged that something's coming, and would not go any further. So, you know, I wish I had more, and obviously once this podcast is over, I'll dig into a little bit more and try to get on the message boards, but that's all I have for now. Chandler Lawson, obviously his last name's familiar. His brothers currently play on the team, Diedrich and KJ. A 4-star power forward who's made the move to Oak Hill Academy. He's currently the 87th ranked player in the class. And to be honest with you guys, I think when you look at KU's priority list, obviously you'll have Jeremiah Robinson Earl, you'll have Matthew Hurt, you'll have Zeke Nagy. So there's some guys I think right now, just based on, I mean, every time you go into a recruiting calendar year, you have to put guys on a priority list. So I would think that they're bringing them in for an official visit. You know, obviously they like him. I just think right now that there are some guys maybe ahead of him on the priority list, but still something to watch. I mean, he's going to go out and play for one of the top high school teams in college basketball. High school basketball, and he has a chance to really have a big time season. And this is the guy that I could see committing next. Isaac McBride, a point guard from Arkansas Baptist, Little Rock, Arkansas, 109th player in the class. Recently made a big jump up in the rankings. He's gushed about Kansas. He's ready to get in for his visit. And, you know, that's definitely a guy. Isaac McBride is one I would keep, you know, an eye on. Then you'll have Christian Braun. Obviously, he'll be in town unofficially. R.J. Hampton, the number 5th-ranked player in the 2020 class, recently made the decision to not reclassify up. He's going to stay in his class 2020. Nation's top point guard, 6'5", 170, can do it all. I mean, immediate impact, difference maker. If the NBA rules change before he gets to college, obviously you won't see him play. But right now he's a guy that Kansas has invested a ton of time recruiting. I think right now a lot of people think Kansas, Duke are right up in there with the top teams. But he's a guy that's been on campus before, is obviously very familiar with the coaching staff. Another player I don't want to miss, Bryce Thompson, also a member of the 2020 class. From Booker T. Washington in Tulsa, and Coach Self actually coached his dad many, many moons ago. So the relationship is there. He's been to campus. He's the 19th, I believe, best shooting guard in the class. So 66 overall. So you listen, and that's just the list I have right now. I'm sure that'll be updated. There's always a plethora of talent, but just, you know, for me, just looking at the list, kind of going over things, you're going to have James Wiseman in. So you got to roll out the red carpet. I mean, until he says otherwise, you have to assume that KU has a chance, and I believe until they do that they've got some type of chance. But to me, when I look at the list, I kind of focus in on Jeremiah Robinson Earl and how much time they've invested in him. And, you know, I mean, again, he's just a guy. Seeing a guy like that leave town, you know, that would be a tough pill to swallow, a la Wayne Simien. Obviously, I know Leavenworth, or a la Perry Ellis. Doesn't matter if it's Wichita or Leavenworth or wherever else. Kansas is Kansas. So, yeah, so they'll have their work cut out for them. And I know a lot of Kansas fans have asked me about Matthew Hurt. I do not anticipate Matthew Hurt visiting during the weekend of Late Night in the Fog officially. He's been down there the last two times. I would anticipate the staff bringing him in on a weekend where maybe there's just one or two other guys, or maybe on a weekend when they bring in a committed player like a Christian Braun. So they can kind of have a chance to rub elbows and spend as much time with him as possible. But, yeah, big weekend, late night, and I expect the list to continue to grow.
Shay, that you have run down just an amazing amount of work that the staff has put in on the recruiting trail. Let's shift gears a little bit. You've been around the team already through some of the early workouts and everything. Tell me about the work that you're seeing from the squad, and what's your feeling about this Kansas basketball team heading into the season?
Well, you know, Randy, if you're gonna get on this team, you better do it early. And I'm not even sure that's gonna happen. I mean, you know, the one thing I love about Bill Self is that he tests his team every year early on. You know, in this year, you're going to have a lot of young guys, but, I mean, they're going to be good. I mean, like, when I be good, and I think I said this last time, if you book your tickets now for Minneapolis, I wouldn't hate on you. I mean, I wouldn't, because I think when you look from top to bottom, this team is loaded. And when you bring LeGerald Vick back, a guy that's proven that can hit outside shots, a guy that's kind of been through the wars, a guy that's been through the fire. I love the front. I mean, who's going to match up with KU's front court? Who? I mean, I know Kentucky added Reed Travis, and that's great, and Kentucky's going to be Kentucky. But what team from top to bottom is going to match up with KU's front court? And thinking about it right now, I don't know if there is a team. You know, you throw out – and I'm going to miss somebody because that's what I do. But you throw out Udoka Azubuike. You throw out Silvio De Souza. You throw out Mitch Lightfoot. You throw out David McCormick. You throw out the Lawsons. And then you want to go to the backcourt. Okay, well, here, let me throw out LeGerald Vick. Let me throw out Devon Dotson. Let me throw out Quentin Grimes. Let me throw out Charlie Moore. I mean, so just again, and I'm going to miss somebody. Just I mean, absolutely, Ochai Agbaji. Just from top to bottom, I mean, I just don't know how it's going to happen. And again, I don't know how you're gonna defend KU's front court. I mean, when you just imagine this, just for 1 second, just imagine a lineup of, let's say, oh, I don't know, for fun, David McCormick and Udoka Azubuike. I mean, what are you going to do there? Who's going to defend that? And how do you stop? I don't know. And if you do find a way to stop, then who's going to handle KU out on the perimeter? I mean, Charlie Moore is jet quick with the ball in his hands. Devon Dotson from inline to inline is about as fast as any player I've seen. Quentin Grimes is a stud. I mean, he's a guy that can get to the cup. I mean, he's a guy that can pull up for the mid-range jumper. Just everywhere you go, there's just a plethora of talent. So to me, I'm excited just to see how Bill Self kind of manages this team. Because you have a second team, again, let me say, that could probably compete for a Big 12 championship. So, you know, Randy, we're all in this line of work for many reasons. But for me of it is, you know, I get excited this time of year to kind of see how Bill will kind of get this team from point A to point B to point C to point D. And for me, I'm excited to see kind of where they start out in the beginning, which obviously started with boot camp, to where they are in the end. Because the talent's there. It's just a matter of, will these guys listen? Will they buy in? And I absolutely positively believe they will. So for me, you know, I'm just kind of ready to see the journey and how it all plays out. Because, you know, when this Kansas team comes, like every Kansas team in the past on the road, you know, they're going to get their opponent's best shot. And this year, obviously, it's going to be as tense as any season as I remember in recent history.
All right, Shay, we're going to end this with the Slant Fast Five. These are five questions we're going to go through quickly. You ready for this?
No, because I'm going to say this now. I don't know who did this, but all my answers are subject to change. And I hope Kirby gets put on the spot too. So yeah, fire away.
We don't, you know, we shouldn't allow asterisks or anything like that before your answers. We shouldn't even preview it. I'm just going to start. Next time we do this, I'm going to throw them at you with no warning whatsoever, just to see how quickly I can catch you off guard. First, will Bill Self win his 15th straight league title? Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely. I just don't see how they, unless they slip up, unless somebody comes in Allen Fieldhouse and sweeps them, I don't see how they do it. Yeah, I'm going to say for sure.
Will the Jayhawks sweep Kansas State?
Yes. I love this team. Listen, and I have a lot of respect for what's going on in Manhattan, but from top to bottom, I just don't see how anybody's going to defend this team. Now, if you were asking me if they're going to go into Stillwater and sweep or Morgantown, I don't know, but yes.
Okay, how many scholarships will Self have open after early departures for the 2019 class?
Okay, well, obviously you're going to lose the Gerald Vick. I could see Doak leaving. I could see Quentin Grimes leaving. DeSouza leave. I'm going to say four or five spots.
I have asked Doak this question at two different media days, and I'm prepared to ask him again. I'm going to ask you now. Will Udoka finally shatter a backboard?
I don't know if he will shatter, but let me say you this. There will be a game delay this year because Big Doak goes wild on a rim. That much I promise. A game will be delayed.
Okay. I will hold you to that one. And my last one here, who starts at point guard for this squad?
Listen, this is what I'm going to say right now. When the season starts, I'm going to say Charlie Moore will be your starting point guard. Okay? And at some point this season, I would expect Devon Dotson to transition into that starting position. That's just my feel. That's just my feel. And I didn't look at all the questions. I didn't know that was one of the questions, so I haven't had time to think about it. But my initial thought right now is that since Charlie Moore has obviously been on campus for a while, he's redshirted, kind of been through some of the wars of practice, and I hate to use that word war because obviously I know it's not, but in terms of sports, he's been kind of through that war. He's got a little bit of experience under his belt, but it would not – let me say this. Instead of saying that Devon Dotson will transition, I will say it will not surprise me if Charlie Moore wins that job, if Devon Dotson at some point this season kind of transitions into that starting role.
All right, everybody, you heard it here first. That's Shay Wildebohr joining us for this edition of the Inside Slant Podcast. Now we're getting ready to kick it into full swing with Kansas football. With this squad riding a 2-1 early season record and getting ready to start Big 12 play on a two-game winning streak, Jayhawks have looked very impressive over these last two wins, specifically last Saturday afternoon against Rutgers. I'm going to bring in our resident football insider and expert now, John Kirby. Kirby, looking at last week's 55-14 shellacking of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, is that something you were even remotely expecting to see David Beatty's squad?
I wasn't even close to expecting that, Randy. And if anybody says that they expected Kansas to win by 40 and do it as dominantly as they did, they're lying to you. I didn't look over every score in our prediction on the board, But my guess is if anybody even had Kansas win them by more than 20, okay, heck, I'd give them a month free subscription. But, you know, there are a couple things that I think played into factor with the big deficit, the big margin of victory there. Number one, Kansas again for the second straight week took Rutgers out of their game. They did it against Central Michigan. They did it against Rutgers. Those teams don't want to be turned into passing teams and playing from behind, and that's what Kansas did to both of them. And I'll be honest with you, when I went back and looked at that game, I really thought Rutgers might have quit. In that third and fourth quarter, I mean, it was 90 degrees, and Kansas had built that lead in the 20s and 30s, and then they just started pounding the rock. And I just think Rutgers, they wanted off the field, get in the showers, warm the bus up, and hop on the plane and get back to New Jersey. So, you know, it's just things played out really well, and it'll be interesting. And, you know, Kansas went to work on the ground, and Puka and all the running backs did real well, and the offensive line showed a little bit of improvement. So that's a big step moving into conference play.
You know, you mentioned some of the different parts of this squad. Let's talk about the defense for a moment here. Clint Bowen's unit leads the nation in takeaways. They're tied for first in defensive touchdowns. They're second in interceptions and second in pass defense efficiency. Who are these guys? I mean, I want to touch on something you wrote earlier today about these guys. How have they switched the scheme from last season to yield the kind of results that we have seen through 3 weeks?
Well, Randy, I don't know if they've switched the scheme as much as they've added a new scheme in. So I think once Big 12 play, I think we'll start seeing some things mix up. And I don't know if it was because Kansas got up in the lead or it was the scheme that helped get them into the lead. But there was definitely something I noticed in the Central Michigan game, because every time that quarterback went back to pass and he looked up, there was no throwing lanes that were open. So I sat there and I watched it, and I went back and I was like, God, there's no pass rush. And then I watched the Rutgers game and I was watching it live. But then when you go back and watch it again, you're sitting there and you're thinking there's no pass rush again. So I started looking up the sacks. I started looking up the quarterback pressures, the hits they've had on the quarterback. And in 5 weeks, they've only had, you know, excuse me, in 2 weeks, they've only hit the quarterback five times. They've only got two sacks. Well, usually those numbers don't lead to the big numbers you just led in with interceptions and takeaways. So I got to talking to a couple players. I looked at that, and there's a reason, okay? There's a reason that David Beatty, when he shuts off fall access and doesn't allow anybody into practice, that probably is a good indication that they're working on some things. All right. Obviously, we've seen the ground game. We've seen the physical play up front. Well, here we have a defense that Clint Bowen's never really shown. And when I talked to a couple players, they were very, very straightforward that Bowen put this thing in this fall, and it's really a three-man front and sometimes a four-man front, and they're dropping 7 and 8 into coverage, and they're making it harder for the quarterbacks to throw. So it'll be interesting this week of what happens against Baylor, because you've got a couple guys who are mobile quarterbacks, and you got some guys who can throw, and you got some receivers who can get behind you. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But this new defense has really paid off the last 2 weeks.
If I would have told you that going into the beginning of Big 12 play, KU would be 2-1. Would you have said they're on schedule from what you were expecting after the non-con part of the season?
Yeah, I think 2-1. Listen, everybody was hoping for 3-0, but I think 2-1 is right. You know, it's right in the wheelhouse of what they hoped they could do. It definitely, you wanted no worse than 2-1. The difference is how they got to 2-1. You know, I didn't expect the early season loss to Nicholls State and then beating up on Central Michigan and Rutgers. So I guess it all comes out in the wash the same way that if they, you know, what would happen if they beat Nicholls State and then went on the road and got beat by Central Michigan and then won at home against Rutgers. It's all still 2-1, okay? So, but I think the way that it's happened might be the most impressive of it all, because they lost that first week. And the kids were down, and you could just see it in the post game when you sat around them. They were down. They were hanging their heads. They didn't have much energy. And then they rebound with two big wins that weren't really even close. So I think the way they've ended up to be 2-1 out of all the different scenarios of how they could get to that, I think this is the perfect one, because they've got some confidence going into the Baylor game.
You know, you talk about the confidence and the momentum that they have heading into this matchup with Baylor. Do you think with the improvement that the team has shown so far over the last 2 weeks after the opening loss to Nichols, does this complicate Jeff Long's job as an athletic director and some of the decisions that he is trying to make, having been on the job for now? Gosh, he's just past the one-month mark, right?
Yeah, you know, he's probably in about 6 weeks on the job since he first started. But, you know, Randy, I don't think it does at all. And I know that's a topic that everybody looks at and, you know, what's the future going to hold? You know, Jeff Long, when you watch him, he's one of the first guys in there to congratulate the players and the coaches after a game. You know, I saw this morning, he wrote something to the student newspaper telling people to get out
yes,
and support.
He did.
You know, listen, he supports David Beatty and he supports this program. And at the same time, he still evaluate him. So, you know, it's kind of a catch 22 to think that he just wants to make some change. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. If Jeff Long could have David Beatty win 5 games, show improvement, be competitive in other games, where he could say, listen, this is our coach. He's shown the progress. We are sticking with this. We've seen things in year 4 that we didn't see in years 1, 2, and 3. Let's get behind this guy. Let's go try to raise some money. If all things came out, that would be a great way to go. Hey, he saves money, okay? His clock doesn't start as fast because he didn't have to hire a football coach right away within his first 3 months on the job, which I'm just saying, if he had to, I'm sure he'll be ready for it. But, you know, right now, when he released that statement after the first week that there is no timetable for him to make a decision, I think he was very clear that he wanted to give David Beatty every chance in the world to show that there's progress in this program, and in year 4, things are starting to slide to the way that they've wanted to coach these kids and the progress, you know, that they're showing now.
John, I'm going to call you on something real quick. You did say, you mentioned the number 5. Do you feel like that's the magic number that this program has to get to this year?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, listen, hey, if Kansas beats Kansas State at Kansas State and they win a home game against Oklahoma State or Iowa State and they go into Norman and let's say going into the fourth quarter, it's a touchdown game and then Oklahoma pulls away. And if Kansas shows some competitiveness in games that they're not supposed to and yet win a few games, I don't know. Boy, it's going to be awful hard to show, because also you're trying to send a message to the next coach too. So if a guy comes in and wins 5 games or 4 and is impressive in some of the other games doing it, you know, you're walking a fine line there by making a change. So it'll be interesting to see. But, hey, right now the focus is Kansas is playing well and they're going in to start Big 12 play. So, time will tell.
So going into week 4, KU is tied for 2nd in the conference in rushing yards. I know that's been a surprise to most people that are familiar with this program and even most outsiders too. Do you think this is something, do you think this is a pace that they can maintain as they start to get in against some of their conference foes?
It's going to be hard. I really do. 200 and some yards rushing. They're tied with Oklahoma for 2nd. You got to look at a couple things. Number 1, they're going to face better defenses. Number 2, they're probably not going to be playing with 21-point leads. So when they're doing that, they're trying to pound the ball. They're trying to run clock. They're trying to get their stable of running backs the football. So it's going to be real hard to do it. And the other thing is, you're going to start finding defenses start putting 7 and 8 in the box and daring Kansas to throw. So the rushing numbers have been real good. They've got talented running backs. You hope that offensive line can stay together. But to keep averaging, 220 yards a game rushing, that's going to be a tall order.
We just got word we have Stephen Cook, who covers the Baylor beat for Rivals.com, on the line. Kirby, I'm going to let you take this one over and find out more about the matchup with the Bears.
I've got Steve Cook on the line, who covers our Baylor beat for Rivals.com in Waco, Texas. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and congratulations to the Jayhawks in last week.
Well, they've played well these last couple weeks. You know, one of the first things I wanted to ask you, I was looking at the weather, and they're talking about an 80% chance of rain down there right before a kick and maybe around the game. You got your umbrella ready to go?
Oh, yeah, I've got my umbrella. I'm also the photographer, so I'll be out there. I've got a big old poncho in case that comes up. But last week it was like in the low 90s and extremely humid, so there's a real good chance we could see that again also.
Well, if it is, I can tell you the Jayhawks are used to that, because last week against Rutgers, I think it got up to around 92, 93 during the heat of the game, and it was humid. And a matter of fact, I think it played a part in the second half because I think it wore Rutgers out. You know, hey, let me ask you this. Start off with the Baylor offense. You know, what can Kansas fans expect from the Bears there?
Well, prior to last Saturday's game against Duke, we thought we had a pretty good idea, but the whole world kind of flipped upside down on that. Right now, Coach Rhule is starting. He's got Charlie Brewer and Jalen McClendon. Charlie's a sophomore, and Jalen is a graduate transfer from NC State, and he's been swapping them two series at a time and then kind of going with his gut in the second half. Both of them have the ability to get a pretty good deep ball. They're both decent scramblers. McClendon's had a couple of turnovers at very inopportune times, but they both scrambled pretty well. Now, the offensive line has been a little bit of a problem for them. They've got three running backs. Now, Jamichael Hasty's going to have to sit out the first half because he got in a fight at the TCU game last year, so he's got to sit out the first half of this first Big 12 game of the season. But Tristan Ebner and John Lovett, all three of them are pretty similar. They're not really power backs. They have pretty good speed. But their big problem is that for the last 2 weeks, the offensive line hasn't been opening up many holes. And so we've had quarterbacks as the top rushers for the last 2 weeks. So if they can't get their running game on track, they're going to be doing a lot more passing.
Well, let's move over to the other side of the ball on defense. What have you seen as the good and the bad so far?
Well, big concern coming into the season was the defensive secondary, but they've actually held up pretty well. Rakedrick Bonds is a fifth-year senior, and he's not awesome, but he's just always in there and makes a lot of plays. Clay Johnston at middle linebacker missed the last season. He missed all of spring ball and the first couple of games of this season with various different injuries. But now that he's back, he's getting a lot of tackles. They got Bravion Roy in the middle is of the defensive line. He's 325 pounds. He doesn't get a huge push into the backfield, but he's a pretty good fire plug sitting there in the middle of the field. And they've got a sophomore, James Lynch, that is turning into a pretty good edge rusher. And then Greg Roberts is also turning into a fairly decent pass rusher. So that's pretty much what it is. They're still giving up some explosive plays where when guys hit the second level, they're taking it all the way.
Move over to special teams. Anything interesting going on there?
That was one that against Duke, really, this is one of those where it's you're really in kind of flux on it because they thought they had everything knocked out. First week, Connor Martin kicked like a 50-yard field goal, would have been good from 60. They thought they finally had a kicker that was money from 40 to 50. And then last week, he missed two in the first half, so we don't really know what to expect this week. Their returners have a tendency to maybe bring the ball out sometimes when they ought to just take it at the 25, so they ended up starting a couple of times, I think once from the 8, once from the 14. So the return game hasn't really been great. Drew Galitz, as the punter, is... he's really something special. He's knocking 50-yard punts, and so the punt game is very solid.
Well, that's all three phases of the game there. So my last question for you is, how do you see this matchup with the Jayhawks on Saturday, and what's your call? What's your prediction on this one?
Well, remember, I cover Baylor, so I'm going Baylor 28-24. The thing is that I really have no idea what to make of the Jayhawks this year. When the season started, everybody, I think, had this marked as a Baylor win. But after the performance of the last few weeks, the Jayhawks are going to come in with a lot of confidence, and I think they're going to really come out. Now, Baylor has shown a tendency that once things start going bad, sometimes they'll let them get badder. And so I think that the second quarter of this game is going to be the critical quarter. I think if Kansas comes out with enthusiasm and jumps on top, it could be a long afternoon for Baylor. If Baylor stays resilient, they do have the ability, and I really think they still have the players that they should be able to out-personnel Kansas, but Kansas is a lot better team than they used to be. So that's where I am with it.
Well, hey, thank you, Steve, for joining us. And again, it sounds like you're going to be down on the sidelines with that camera, and you'll have to cover up. Maybe that rain will end up pushing out, but have a good call on Saturday at the game.
You too.
All right, that was Stephen Cook on the Baylor game. And John, I want to get your take on this game and the breakdown. When you look at this Bears program, obviously there's been a lot of change and a lot of turmoil there over the last few years with some of the things that have happened there in Waco. What's your take on this game?
Well, Randy, when we did our first football podcast, I said the schedule sets up well for Kansas, because each week it kind of staggered upwards. It started with Nicholls State, which, hey, was supposed to be the win, right? That was the one before the season everybody's counting on as a win. And then going on the road to Central Michigan was going to be a test. And then a Big Ten team, Rutgers, coming in was going to be a test. And then that led into the Big 12 play. So, you know, I think it's played out just like we thought it would. It's kind of moved right up that schedule. And again, we said Rutgers was going to be the best team talent-wise and on paper that Kansas played. They probably were in week three. This week, it's the same thing. Baylor is going to be the best football team that Kansas has seen. They've got very good skill kids. They got two quarterbacks, both of them who can run, both throw the ball well. They've got talented running backs. I know the offensive line has struggled, and they've had trouble moving the ball through the ground. Now, here's one other thing to look at, the weather. They are calling for 80% chance of rain in Waco at around noon, and I think it drops to about 70% by kickoff. That's the latest I saw as we were getting ready to start this podcast. So that's going to be something else that could factor in, and that might be able to play into Kansas' advantage, because Baylor's been fairly decent throwing the football, and they've thrown the football a lot. And if you make this thing a wet mess and a slippery football and you can't throw it as well, and it becomes a game where you got to stop the run and run the football, you know, some things play out, you know, that might favor Kansas on the road. I just think right now, all things considered, I know Mims is going to play, the talented wide receiver from Baylor who missed last game. They've got some kids who are going to stretch the Kansas field. They can get behind you. You know, you're going to have to be careful with the defense that they're playing. The linebackers are going to be, you know, they're going to be tested with the way Baylor lines up. And, you know, right now, listen, I was way wrong last week. I said Rutgers in a close game. Well, I'm going to go back that direction right now, and I'm going to say Baylor 28, Kansas 24. Now, I say that. If Kansas wins the football game Saturday, you're here to hear first, I'm predicting a homecoming upset over Oklahoma State.
Oh, wow. Okay. Like Kirby said, you heard it here first. The Jayhawks, he believes, will take down the Cowboys in Lawrence on homecoming. Now, we're not going to let you get away that easily. Before we close this thing out.
Hey, Randy. Yes. Randy, you might go back and do that. I didn't say that. I said if they beat Baylor, then I think they'll beat Oklahoma State, because then they'll have the momentum. So you might go back in and start that over.
Okay. 3-2-1. Kirby's right. Momentum is everything, especially in the conference season. If they can start Big 12 playoff right with a big win, and it would be big to go down to Baylor, all bets are off. And I think you're right talking about homecoming. I think anything would be possible when they come home to Memorial Stadium at the end of the month. Okay, before I let you go, we're going to do exactly the same thing with you that we did with Shay, John. I've got my Fast Five ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Does Puka go over 100 yards this week against Baylor?
Oh, wow. Wet field, Baylor trying to play the run. I'm going to say no.
Okay. Will Joe Dineen have more than 12 tackles against the Bears?
Wow, great question. I'm going to say no, and I'm going to say that because in a normal situation, if Baylor is running the offense they want to, they're going to be throwing the football, they're going to have guys out in space, and Dineen may not have as many chances to make tackles on run plays as he usually does.
Do you see this squad having a 300-yard passing game this year?
Yes.
Crimson or blue? That's a good question.
Oh, blue, all the way.
Same here, same here. And finally, will Tony Hull get a 4- or 5-star recruit from Louisiana in this class?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go against the grain. I would normally say no, and I'll tell you why I would say no, is because usually when he gets a 4-star kid, it's someone that commits early. It's someone that we've known about long before September. So if you go back and look at the guys he's had committed, a lot of them have committed early. So, you know, but you know what? I can't bet against Tony Hull because right when you do, he's going to end up proving you wrong. So I'm going to go out and just say, yep, he'll get one.
That will do it for this edition of the Inside Slant Podcast. I'm your host, Randy Withers. I've been here with Shea Wildebor, who joined us first on the basketball beat, then John Kirby, obviously looking ahead to the matchup this Saturday against Baylor. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Continue to listen. Continue to check JayhawkSlant.com for information about our next episode and when you can expect to hear from us again. This is Randy Withers from Rivals.com. Thanks for joining us.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.